So basically, inshallah, those were the announcements that I wanted to make. I'm checking to make sure this recorder is recording. Very good, it is. I need to go buy another microphone because I tore up my other microphone. My other microphone got caught in a vacuum cleaner. So I'm going to have to leave here and go to the store to buy another microphone. Okay, but anyway, let's get started on the Tawheed class. And today we're continuing with the topic of the different rulings of the Eid prayer. And again, the reason why we're going over this is because Ramadan is almost at an end. Next week, inshallah, everybody will be going to perform the Eid prayer. And you need to be aware of how what the Eid prayer is, what the rulings are in regards to performing it, how it's done, etc. And today what we're going to do is talk about the actual prayer itself, how the actual prayer itself is performed. But before we do that, let me ask you guys some questions from yesterday to make sure everybody is in sync here. Hold on for a second. Okay, here's the first question. We talked about the importance of takbir, of saying takbir on the day of the Eid. Who can tell me when we say takbir, what is it that we are saying? What is takbir? What are we saying when we say takbir? Who can tell me? Very good. We're saying Allahu Akbar, or God is the greatest. Very good. Allahu Akbar, or God is the greatest. We're praising Allah. That's what takbir is, when you say Allahu Akbar, or Allah is the greatest. Next question. Takbir for the Eid begins when and lasts until when? When do we begin giving takbir on the day of the Eid? When does it begin? It begins when and ends at what time? You can remember. Very good, brother or sister Manar. It begins when you leave the home. When does it end? When does takbir end? Very good, sister. I mean, it ends when the prayer begins. Okay, very good. And what we need to do is remember, guys, when you leave your home to go to the mosque on the day of the Eid, you give takbir, you recite takbir all the way up until the prayer begins. When the prayer begins, then that's when it ends. Okay, next question. True or false? Takbir must be said silently. True or false? Takbir must be said silently. Very good. The answer is false. Takbir can be said silently or it could be said aloud. Either one is sufficient. Next question, true or false? We cannot say takbir in a group. True or false? We cannot say takbir in a group. True or false? Very good. That answer is true. And we talked about how this is a common bidah that we find when we go to the different masjids. You find Muslims sitting around saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La sharika laham, and all this in a group. This is innovation. This is innovation. We do not give takbir in a group. But remember, we talked about yesterday, however, when you go to the mosque and these people are doing that, that should not discourage you from going to the prayer. If you enter inside the mosque and they give you a piece of paper and tell you they want you to join in with everybody and say this dhikr, you tell them, no, this is innovation. You tell them, no, I will give takbir on my own, not together in unison, because this is innovation. But that should not be a reason for you to not go to the mosque. Next question. Who can tell me what is the specific takbir that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite? What is the specific takbir of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What was his takbir? What is the specific takbir that he would recite? Who can tell me? No other answers here. What is the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, specific takbir? What's the one that he used to recite? Nobody else is going to answer? Brother Amir. Okay, very good. That was a tricky question. There was no specific takbir for the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, I got Aisha. There was none, Sister Aisha. Very good, Kawi. There was no specific takbir. And anybody who comes to you telling that it is, this is someone who has no knowledge or understanding of Islam. Because there is no specific takbir of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have different companions who used to say different things, but the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here we go, has not been recorded. Let me turn this off. Has ever given any takbir. Okay. I'm not going to have anybody interrupt me today. I just cut it off. Okay, next question. Takbir is also proclaimed in situations which may insinuate feelings of what? We talked about how we also give takbir in certain situations that insinuate certain feelings. Feelings of what? Who can remember? What are the certain feelings that we give takbir for to try to do away with? Very good. Feelings of arrogance. You know, so that's why when we do things like whenever we sacrifice, we kill an animal for food, we always say Allahu Akbar and Bismillah, okay? Because this helps us to prevent us from becoming arrogant or thinking that we're so powerful because we were able to kill something. The same thing when people make Hajj, okay? When they're throwing the rocks at the shaitan, we say Allahu Akbar to keep us humble. Very good manner, and also when giving a lecture. Next question, we also talked about certain things that can be done at the Eid prayer. And we talked about the playing of the duff. Who can tell me what is the duff? We talked about this instrument known as the duff. What is the duff? Very good. It's similar to a drum, but it looks like a tambourine. It's similar to a tambourine and a drum together. It looks like a tambourine, but it's a drum and you beat it like that. Okay? That is a duff. It's not a bongo. It's not congos, bongos, and what you see a lot of these people, these men playing. It's not none of that junk. Next question, the duff is allowed to be played by whom? The duff is allowed to be played by whom? Very good, the duff is for women only. Women only. And we talked about how there is no hadith on this planet that states the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ever allowed the men to ever play the duff. Neither did any of the companions. This is something that was reserved for the women only. But unfortunately today we see many Muslims making a mockery of this religion. We find Muslims singing songs and playing playing drums and everything else. This is not from the Sunnah. This is haram. Musical instruments are haram. And under no circumstances are men ever to play them. Next question, list the circumstances that women are allowed to beat the duff. We talked about how there are only several instances in which the women are allowed to beat the duff. What are they? Okay, very good. They're allowed to beat it for weddings. For weddings, what else? Very good. For the Eid, what else? Okay, very good. When a dignified person comes to visit you. No, not a vow, Brother Amir. Say, for example, you invited Sheikh Atli to come to your mosque to give a lecture. The women could beat the duff, okay, when he arrives as a way of showing respect to him. Okay, So those are the no. There's nothing in the Quran or the Sunnah that mentions anything about victory after a battle. This is not true either. Okay, there's nothing that states that. Okay, the instances where the duff is allowed, again, is at weddings, at the eve, or when someone who is special or respected comes to visit you. Okay, those are the circumstances in which the beating of the duff is allowed. It is not allowed during battles, Abdullah. That's what the Quraysh did, what the Kafirs did, not the Muslims. Hind, when she was a Kafir during the Battle of Uhud, she beat the drums and sang songs and promised the men to have sex with them if they would win the battle. But that was not from the companions. That was the Kafirs. So this is not correct. Again, the only time the beating of the duff is allowed in Islam for the women is during weddings, during the Eid prayers, and if someone new, someone respected comes to visit them, that's it. Okay? And again, it is not allowed for men at all. Okay? Next question. True or false? The men are allowed to sing at the Eid. True or false? The men are allowed to sing at the Eid. Very good. That answer is false. Under no circumstances are the men allowed to sing songs either. But the women can sing nasheed, songs of poetry, but they cannot do it whereas the men can hear. This is the key. The women are allowed to sing and beat the duff. But if they're going to sing, they have to do it someplace where the men cannot hear them. The men are allowed to hear them beat the duff, but the men cannot hear them sing because singing involves softening the voice. Okay? And women are prohibited from softening their voices publicly because their voices bring about fitna. Okay, so basically those questions and answers help to summarize what we discussed yesterday. Today we're going to continue on by speaking about how the Eid prayer is performed and other things, inshallah. First of all, we want to talk about the Eid greetings. The Eid greetings. It is permissible for Muslims to greet each other on the day of the Eid with specific greetings that have been reported from the Sahaba. Okay? A person asked Ibn Taymiyyah about this too. And he said, for people greeting each other after the Eid prayer, they would say, may Allah accept from us and you. Or may Allah bring the Eid back to you next year. It has been reported that the companions used to say this. So there is nothing wrong with going to the Eid prayer and greeting one another by saying, may Allah accept from you and us, and may Allah bring the Eid back to you next year. However, we need to stick with the greetings of the companions and try not to mix the greetings of the kafir with that. For example, you'll go to the mosque for the Eid prayer, and you may find some Muslims saying, may you be well every year. This is innovation. The companions never said this. On the day of the Eid prayer, they never said, may you be well every year. So this is innovation. So you want to try to stick with the greetings of the companions. And their greeting was, on the day of the Eid, was, may Allah accept from us and you. And may Allah bring the Eid back to you next year. That was their greeting. They never said, may you be well. I don't know where this comes from. But this is not from Islam. Okay? Also, if you read this email that has been sent out, it talks about the status of the Eid prayer. And they say here that the Eid prayer is obligatory. This is not correct. I wanted to bring your attention here. Remember, we don't follow anyone blindly. And we love Ibn Taymiyyah. God, Allah knows I love him. I use all his books. But he has the opinion that the Eid prayer is obligatory. And so did Sheikh Albani. This is not correct. And I'm going to tell you why it's not correct. Because a man once came to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, O Prophet of Allah, tell me all that I need to know about praying. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you need to pray five times a day. Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. So the man then asked, is there any other praying that I have to do? The Prophet said, no, that is the only prayer that you have to do. And that hadith is authentic. You will find it in Bukhari and Muslim. So that is the evidence. The evidence that the only obligatory prayers that we have is Fajr, Dhuhr, Maghrib, Asr, and Isha. That's it. Okay? So for those scholars who believe that it's obligatory, there are others who are against this, and that's the opinion of the scholars of our website too, and I follow that opinion as well, that the Eid prayer is not obligatory. Because if it were, the Prophet would have told that man that he has to do the Eid prayer too. Okay, but he did not. Okay, so it is not obligatory. However, it is a highly recommended act. Because the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never missed it. And he would encourage everybody to come out for the Eid. He would encourage the menstruating women to come out. So that is all proof that although it's not recommend, it's not obligatory, it is something that is highly, highly, highly recommended. It is a sunnah, which is highly recommended. A lot of people will ask the question, what do we do if the Eid prayer falls on a Friday? Okay, the same day as Juma prayer. What do you do in a situation like that? Well, if the Eid prayer was to fall on a Friday, then you do not perform the Juma prayer. Instead, you perform the Eid prayer. And the dalil for this is the hadith, whereas once narrated by Abu Huraira, that once the Eid fell on a Friday, and the Prophet said, two Eids have come together on this day of yours. So whoever wishes, he is excused from the Juma prayer. But as for us, we shall gather for the Eid prayer. And that hadith is authentic, and that is the dalil that if the Eid prayer falls on the same day as the Juma prayer, you don't have to perform the Juma. Instead, you perform the Eid. However, we need to also understand that there are no sunnah rakats before or after the Eid. There are no sunnah rakats made before the Eid prayer nor after it. But if you are praying the Eid prayer, excuse me, in the masjid, then you can still perform the two rakats for the mosque. Okay? So if the Eid prayer is being held at the mosque, upon entering the mosque before sitting, it is the sunnah to perform the two rakats on behalf of the mosque. So you do perform them, but this is only if the Eid prayer is being held at the mosque. If the Eid prayer is not being held in the mosque, then you do not perform any sunnah prayers before nor after it. Okay? The next thing that people ask is, well, what is the timing of the Eid prayer? When should it be done? Can we hold it at Maghrib? Can we hold it right after Fajr? What is the correct timing for the Eid prayer? The time of the Eid prayer is after the sun has risen and until noon. So right after the sun has risen, that's when the Eid prayer can begin, and you have till noon to perform it. So anybody that you know that is performing an Eid prayer after noon, they're not performing an Eid prayer because it's over with. The time for the Eid prayer is from sunrise till noon. That's why most people perform it around 8 o'clock in the morning. Okay? Anybody who does it after 12 o'clock, they are not performing an Eid prayer. Okay? So a lot of people will come to us and then ask us this next question. They say, okay, what if you did not know that Ramadan had ended? Say, for example, nobody's seen the moon where you are, so you fasted an extra day. But then some people came in town, and they said that they had seen the moon yesterday. So you break your fast, but it's after 12. It's past time for the Eid prayer, so what do? In that case, you hold the Eid prayer the next day. So if for some reason that you did not know that the Eid was that day, you have to wait and you find out and it's after 12 o'clock in the afternoon, you wait till the next day to perform the Eid prayer. Okay? And again, just like the beginning of Ramadan, it ends with the sighting of the moon from one reliable person. It doesn't matter where in the world that person is from. If one person says he has seen the moon, then that's sufficient for the rest of the Ummah. Okay? Also, when performing the Eid prayer, it's different than the other prayers. There is no adhan nor any iqamah. You do not begin the Eid prayer by reciting the adhan or the iqamah. Anyone who does this is an innovator. This is not from the sunnah and this would be innovation. The Eid prayer does not begin with an iqamah nor an adhan. Also, what makes the Eid prayer different is it consists of two rakat. The first rakat contains 7 takbirs, and the second rakat contains 5 takbirs. Okay? So you want to remember the Eid prayer does not have an adhan, it does not have any comment, it consists of 2 rakat. And it begins with Allahu Akbar, the initial takbir. Then after the initial takbir, it is followed by 7 more takbirs. Okay? We need to understand this. Let me talk about these takbirs a little bit more in detail. In fact, let me do this so you guys can understand how this is done. The opening dua is followed by 7 takbirs in the first rakat. And then in the second rakat, there are 5 more. Now, this is where we find some problems. When you go to the mosque to pray the Eid prayer, you notice for every takbir, there are some people who raise their hands. Allahu Akbar, they raise their hands. Allahu Akbar, raising hands. Allahu Akbar, raising hands. This is not from the sunnah. You do not have to raise your hand for those other takbir. You only raise it for the first one, and that's it. There is no authentic hadith on this planet, whereas the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would raise his hands for those 7 takbir or the other 5. So when you go to the mosque, you're going to see some people raising their hands and some people are not. The ones who are not are the ones who are following the sunnah. So you want to remember that. You start off with the first takbir, Allahu Akbar, you raise your hands for that. And then after you place your hands on your chest, that's it. You don't have to go through Allahu Akbar and raise them again and again and again. That is not the sunnah. There are some people who say that there are hadiths, whereas Ibn Umar and Umar used to raise their hands for all those other takbirs. None of those hadiths are authentic. None of those hadiths are authentic. So the bottom line is you raise your hands for the first top beer, and that's it. You don't have to raise your hands for the other seven or the other five after that. There is also no vicar. No vicar between the E top beers. Okay? And so then this leads us to the next question that many people ask. After giving the top beers, then what surah should we recite? Well, of course, no prayer is accepted without the Fatiha. No salat is accepted without the Fatiha. The Fatiha must be recited in every rakat of any salat. And for the Eid prayer, after reciting the Fatiha, it is sunnah in the first rakat to recite Surah Al-Kahf. And in the second rakat to recite Surah Al-Qamar. Or you can recite Surah Allah and Surah Ghashiyah. Those are the surahs that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite after the Fatiha in the first and second rakats. But you have to remember there is no salat without the Fatiha. The Fatiha must be recited in both rakats first. The remainder of the Eid prayer is performed in the same manner as any other salat without any difference. You just want to remember that the Eid prayer has no adhan, it has no iqamah, it begins with takbir in the opening dua, then there are seven more takbirs in the first rakat. You want to remember you do not have to raise your hands for those takbirs. There are also five takbirs upon standing in the second rakat. You do not have to raise your hands for those either. In fact, you should not raise your hands for those. Okay? Other than that, the rest of the salat is the same. It has the bowing, the prostration, the tashahud, etc. Finally, the last thing we're going to discuss for today is what do you do if you miss the Eid prayer? A lot of people end up missing the Eid prayer because there is no adhan for it. There is no iqamah for it. So some people arrive to the mosque late. Too late. They done missed the prayer. What do you do? I'm sorry. Okay, that explains basically how the Eid prayer is performed. And we're going to stop right here for today. And tomorrow what we're going to do is talk about the kutbah, because there's also, if you go to the mosque with the other Muslims to pray the Eid prayer, there's also a kutbah that is held too. Okay, what did you guys miss? What did you not hear? Oh, if you miss the Eid prayer, then you perform two rakats. If you get to the mosque too late, like many people do, because there is no adhan or iqamah, if you arrive and everybody else is done, then you make the two rakats yourself. You perform two rakats. Or if you are not going to make it at the mosque, if you're not going to be making the Eid prayer at the mosque, you can make it at home yourself by performing the two rakats yourself at home. So that's what you do. If you miss it, you just make two rakats. If you're going to be praying it by yourself at home, then it's the same thing, the two rakats. And you can make those two rakats the way we just detailed with the top beers or whatnot. Okay? Okay, so we're going to stop right here for today. If there's any other questions, inshallah, go ahead and ask them now.